New project shares the experiences of 10 Wisconsinites who are recovering from heroin addiction. USA Today's Hooked in Wisconsin series features stories and interviews with people from all over the state. Their stories of the road to addiction and recovery are all different, but they all hope that sharing their experiences can prevent others from getting addicted. Alexandra Wimley is a photographer and video storyteller for USA Today Network Wisconsin. She worked extensively on this project. Allie, welcome to Central Time. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, talk about the origins of this project, tracking down these stories of people dealing with heroin and recovery.
Yeah, so this project was pitched in late September by one of our reporters. And it sort of started off as a way to explore this issue of addiction by interviewing people about their very first time ever using heroin. It sort of morphed from there to become something a little more broad, because we realized that having such a narrow focus didn't really catch all the important details of these people's stories. But from that original idea, we got our sort of team from all over the state. We have 11 sites across the state of Wisconsin. And so we were able to sort of tap into those resources to get a huge range of people from different communities all across the state to tell their stories and to allow the reporters and I sort of into their lives to get a glimpse of what their lives look now that they've been clean for a little while, and how their lives have been affected by addiction.
And people were willing to talk under their own names with their pictures featured prominently. People were willing to talk about this very difficult story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it obviously did take some time. There were some people we reached out to who weren't willing to participate in the story. But everyone who did agree to it, I was actually surprised to find, were very willing and excited to be a part of it. And I think that really speaks to the fact that many of these people have truly lost everything due to this one substance, you know, their families, their lives, their jobs. And everyone has sort of expressed this interest to do anything that they can to make sure that other people don't end up in their same position. And, you know, sharing their stories is a big part of doing that. And I think it's really interesting that everyone is so willing to do it, you know, share these intimate details about their lives in order to prevent other people from getting sort of trapped into the cycle of addiction.
Everybody had their own story, and they're all different, but there were common themes. One of those themes was prescription pain pills as kind of a starting point, at least for many people. I want to take a listen to Rebecca Palmieri of Wisconsin Rapids talking about how she became addicted to heroin.
For 5 months after I had my son, they just kept prescribing pain meds. Once they did corrective surgery, by then I was hooked. And when I came here, I met somebody that just immediately introduced me to heroin. So he said, give me your arm. And I just gave him my arm in my bedroom, and like, it was instant. It got to the point where, you know, when I lost everything, I didn't even care. It was no big deal. It steals your soul.
We've heard from our listeners on the show. We've talked to guests. You talked to a lot of people who had this story. The first step toward opioid addiction wasn't the heroin itself. It was pain pills, whether prescribed to them or obtained in another way. Is that something you saw a lot?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much the common thread through it all. I mean, no one just starts with heroin, you know. And something that I heard over and over again was, also sort of people have this image in their head that a heroin addict is always shooting it up. But people just start by taking it, whether it be snorting it or in pill form as an opiate, which seems to a lot of people like you're not crossing that same line. But it always ends up where, you know, that is not the same high, or it's not the same high that they're looking for. And that's when they sort of cross line after line after line. They don't realize how bad it's getting until it's almost too late. So, it does sort of start with those painkillers, and then it progresses from there.
Yeah, watching and the photo series and listening to people talk about it, that is such a common thing, as you said, crossing lines. I'll do this, but I'm not doing that, so it's not that bad. I'm not going to do that. And finally, the last one always seemed to be, okay, well, I'm not using it in needle form. And then I think in all these cases, people ended up there.
Right. And, I mean, you know, it usually comes down to price. You know, people can't afford these painkillers that they got addicted to, whether it be prescribing it because of a medical issue or just using them recreationally. And then they can't find it, they can't afford it, and heroin's cheaper and it gets you that same high quicker. And so people just move on to that once the addiction reaches that point.
want to listen to another story. This is Kyle Ketting of Wisconsin Rapids, a heavy, he said, heroin user until a fatal incident made him commit to recovery. Here's some of that story.
It had gotten to the point where life sucked. Every day sucked. You know, looking in the mirror, I didn't want to be here anymore. That progressed until December 2nd, 2014, where me and a bunch of my friends were getting high, and then one person ended up dying as a result of our drug use. The next morning, the detectives were at my door. At that point, I knew I could not keep living my life the way I was living it, because that's gonna be me. I had to do everything I could to change everything about me. The only thing I can do to try to make amends to that person is by living a clean and sober life today.
So Kyle's legal story is getting on, but can you talk about Kyle and other people trying to recover? Were there a lot of cases where they hit the catchphrase is they hit bottom? Did that happen a lot?
Yes, I mean, you know, sometimes it was more of just a cycle of sort of trying to get clean, and not because of such like a rock bottom, but more, you know, you know that it's unhealthy and they want to get clean and they relapse a few times. But there are definitely circumstances where it was an incarceration or something like that, that was that rock bottom that forced people into recovery.
We're talking to Alexandra Wimley from USA Today Network Wisconsin about the Hooked in Wisconsin series looking at people's roads to heroin addiction and then recovery. People around the state. I want to listen to another one now. Jody Paulus, one of the people you talked with, a member of the United Nation. He said spirituality and something called the Grandpa Fire helped him recover. Here's some of his story.
I chose heroin. It was kind of like when I first came across, it was like, I got what I was looking for. Nothing bothers you. You know, you feel complete. I got locked up. And when I got locked up, I got locked up for 9 months. With those 4 months, I had to go in the hole. Solitary confinement, you know, no communication whatsoever, nothing. The best thing that ever happened to me is when I got locked up. I knew something was missing. But it boiled down to my spirituality through our ways. And once I went there, I did a whole 180 turn to where I stayed strong, and I devoted myself to this fire, devoted myself to our culture. Actually, getting clean was the easiest part, but staying strong is the hardest part. You're leaving behind that bond that you had with your friends or whoever it is that you were hanging out with, you know. But now I can't say anything about it because they're all dead now.
Alexandra, I hear again and again in these stories as people talk about recovery, they don't talk about methadone. They don't talk about replacement drugs. Well, maybe they talk to you about that too. But again and again, it's the social connections, changing who they associated with in their life, change their cultural setting, their spiritual setting. It's more than just getting clean of the drugs. It's changing their lives, it sounds like.
Yeah, a common thread that I saw is that most of these people replaced the drug use with something. So, you know, for Joey, it was this fire where him and other recovering addicts spend a majority of their day there. And it's sort of the cultural connection, it's the social connection, it's the support where there are other recovering addicts who they can go to and say, you know, today I really want to use, but I'm not going to, and I'm going to sit here all night if I have to, and that'll distract me from this urge. You know, for other people, for another one of our subjects, it was a volleyball league that he does with other members of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, another person cleans up the parks with his son and just, you know, picks up trash and mows lawns and has this whole sort of movement around that. So there's always sort of something else that fills that gap that used to just be the drug use.
As you talk to people, was there a sense that, okay, I am recovered? Or was there a sense that they're still working, that there's that worry that they might backslide?
You know, we did sort of, it's a wide range of these individuals. You know, some have only been clean for a few months, some for a few years. But there's sort of this old, there's always this thing that there's the possibility that, you know, you're never fully recovered once you sort of know what this addiction feels like. You always kind of want to use. But what I heard from multiple of these people is they know the effect it has on their life, and that's strong enough force to keep them from going back. But it is always something that they have to maintain. They have to make sure that their mental health is in control so that they can, you know, maintain their recovery and continue to get support for it, probably for the rest of their lives.
A part of your goal and part of the goal of the people talking to you was to put a human face on this issue of addiction. Here's a quick listen to Moria Rogowski of Green Bay.
A lot of people think people who use are like, you know, they're garbage. They're not good, they're worthless, or like they're just bad people in general. And they're not. Not at all.
Can you talk about her story and putting that human face on what we think of as statistics sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, her story is special because she grew up in, you know, a nice, like, normal family. She had a normal childhood, and she just fell into drug use because that's what her friends were doing. And now there's sort of the stigma surrounding her because she has at one point been a heroin addict. And she especially wants to go to school to become a recovery coach because she understands addiction better than someone who's never been through it. She wants to help people who are in her position.
And one more theme that came up for at least some of the people was a history as children in many cases of some kind of abuse or neglect. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, one thing I heard over and over is just the numbing effect of drugs. So, you know, someone who has faced abuse in their childhood turned to alcohol and softer drugs, you know, as young teenagers to sort of numb that abuse. And then they never really learn how to cope with it, and they need something to sort of self-medicate as they become young adults, and that's when they turn to opiates and then heroin. That seems to be a common thread through some of these individuals.
And are you going to be following up moving forward to doing more projects like this with recovering addicts in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so the team has a plan in 2018 to dive deeper into certain aspects of heroin in Wisconsin, whether it be the methadone program or, you know, where the heroin actually comes from, things like that, sort of deeper dives into some of the issues that we touched on in these profiles. And some of these individuals, we will use as sources for these stories while finding, you know, new people and experts who can speak on it. So this is sort of the launching point of a wider series we plan to do in the coming year.
We'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's Alexandra Wimley, photographer and video storyteller for USA Today Network Wisconsin. She was with us to talk about the project Hooked in Wisconsin, When Heroin Hits Home.